You're listening to Around Comics, episode 232, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Netflix. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week a revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. You know that if you are in the area, you should drop by. Hey there, everyone. Christopher Neeson here.
Hi, Christopher.
Hi, everybody. Let me get you introduced to this week's panel. First of all, Mr. Tom Caters.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You're talking like this tonight.
The entire episode.
It's men.
It's from a world.
Did you enjoy your comics this week?
I loved my comics this week.
Tom, you look good. You look strong. You're re-energized. Tax day is coming.
Yeah, last time I saw you, you looked like...
homeless.
You looked like the zombie bub from Day of the Dead.
I could, that's what I was going for. No one talked to me.
He was talking about dead pigeons. He was sleeping with people on the L.
I was living on the streets. I rented a place and I moved my stuff in tomorrow, so I'll be off the streets tomorrow. And everything's really good for me right now.
Congratulations.
Really turning stuff around. Look for me on Intervention. They said it might not be until the next season.
I prefer the celebrity...
Celebrity rehab,
yes.
I'd kill a celebrity. I'd kill one of the other celebrities. If I was... I mean, how embarrassing. First of all, no one's in their best... They don't look their best when they're like... in rehab, and then you also then display all of your massively.
Are they? Huge is it all just drugs? Or are they getting into some interesting shit that they're?
It's all substance.
Oh, I'm over it. That is lame.
Yeah. I have to go around apologizing to.
No, get addicted to sex or like some sort of weird animal stuff.
Intervention. They should have a show.
Oh God,
man, I could use some of that.
We should. That would be good.
I think he's in the bathroom reading X-Force number one.
No, stop him. God, no. Oh, thank God.
Covered.
Oh, he was too afraid to open up the poly bag cover,
we're safe. Comic book intervention.
Let me introduce our guest who just kind of walked in off the street.
I've been sleeping for weeks.
Mr. Chris Burnham.
Yes.
The artist from... Elephant Man and the upcoming
I believe the title is Marvel Mystery Comics 70th Anniversary Special Number 1. So if you guys know your Marvel history, you'll know that the first proper Marvel comic book was Marvel Mystery Comics Number 1, featuring the kind of the first appearance of the Submariner and definitely the first appearance of the Human Torch.
The original Human Torch,
yes,
not the Johnny Storm.
Not the fake one that we've been living with.
Right.
That
fraud.
and whenever you pick up that book, flip to page 17 and look in awe and go, wow, that's going to look good hanging up on Chris's wall.
Yeah, I just sold it for what, $800-$900 to you?
Bargain
at that.
$8. You need to look at that check. You sold it for a fair market value price.
All right, let's leave that. Let's leave the details out.
The lowest price consistent with quality.
Which speaking of, if folks are interested in buying Chris's artwork, you can go to Cadence Comic Art. Correct.
That is correct.
Yeah, and there's actually a really nice Elephant Men page that I was looking at today.
You should buy that one.
It's not. Well, I just bought it a page of yours.
Well, but you bought my Marvel Mystery page. Now you need to complete the collection with whatever.
We'll see.
The Tour of Burnham.
Speaking of buying things, we need to talk about our lovely sponsor. sponsor. That, of course, is InStockTrades.com, where you can find a huge selection of the collected editions you need. That's right, you need them. InStock Trades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, the intervention sponsored by InStock Trades.
Chris, what do you do? Why are you walking up to your room with that big, heavy bag? You didn't buy any hardcovers, did you?
No. It's drugs. You can get showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. And right now, you can pick up The Adventures of Luther Arkwright. It is Tom's book club pick. Yeah. They have it for an amazing 45% off the cover price, and it can be yours for a low, low price of $10.42.
Are we talking about that next time?
Yeah, I believe. The announcement, which I'm actually kind of announcing to you, Tom, because we're scheduling here. This is live scheduling. Here it goes. Show meeting next Saturday, which is Free Comic Book Day.
Okay.
We are going to be recording at Challengers Comics and Conversation right down the street on Western Avenue. I believe it's like 1845, but look it up.
It's by the L stop.
Right, yeah, just south of the Western Blue Line stop. We're going
the
be
old hair branch. Don't go to the other.
Yeah, yes. Not good. I ride that one to work. We're going to be at Challengers, and why, you ask? Are we going to be at Challengers Comics and Conversation? Because we're going to be talking to none other than Mr. Eric Larson, one of the founding fathers of Image Comics. He's going to be signing at Challengers for Free Comic Book Day. Now, if you are in the Chicago area and you, like a lot of other comic fans, like to hit multiple comic book shops on Free Comic Book Day, make sure to come by Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, because you will be able to meet Mike Norton, Tony Akins, Sal Abernathy, Tim Seeley, Jeffrey Brown, and
me,
Chris Burnham. So fantastic group of guys that are going to be signing here at Dark Tower. So if you are in the Chicago metro area and you're going to be hitting stores for Free Comic Book Day, go to both Dark Tower and Challengers.
But nowhere else.
No one else has them.
No, between those two stores, you're gonna meet some great creators and get your free comic books, and I'm sure there's gonna be
good. You will be able to find a box of free comics that I'm getting rid of.
So Free Comic Book Day coming up, should be a lot of fun. Oh, by the way, I noticed that in stock trades that Luther Arkwright was the #3 top seller of the week a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
so
I'm really driving that.
Tom, you are affecting people's purchasing.
How many copies have you bought personally?
Personally, like in person, or using a credit card
from
various online stores?
Well, I assume that after you finish reading it, you rip it up. You destroy a page.
Everyone's
as you read
different.
It.
Everyone, the experience, I love that book so much that I can't stand to think that that I'll read the same one again, or I either burn it, I bury it in my yard. There's tons in my yard. If you go to my yard and dig it up.
You have Arkwright bushes growing
everywhere.
In your yard.
Yeah, just everywhere.
I'm sure Brian Talbot approves of that message.
Yeah, yeah.
Read it, burn it, and buy another one.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, just want to let you know, a little bit of an audio problem here at the beginning of the show. Tom sounds like he's in a cave a little bit.
Hello.
That stops at about the 30-minute mark, so it's good stuff, so we wanted to keep it in, but if you want to skip ahead to the high-fidelity Tom Caters, you can do so.
It's probably fine. It's better than most podcasts, probably. Not to rag another podcast, but come on.
No. Okay, well, that's enough of, I think, the general pimpage and letting people know what's going on in the Chicago area in the next week.
Around Comics needs to get paid.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, Around Comics needs to talk about some comic books.
Yeah.
I'm ready to talk about some comics. It's been a couple weeks. Tom is back in fighting shape again, and I know chomping at the bit to talk about some stuff. We got Chris through the pre-screening process today. It's
right.
Have you been reading books, Chris? Yes. Would you like to talk with us?
I look at the pictures for the most part.
You know, you have to ask creators that sometimes.
That's true.
If it's going to be a general like comic discussion episode, because a lot of creators are so busy creating comics all day long, the last thing they want to do is read them.
A lot of them resent comics.
I certainly do.
don't enjoy it.
And you know, honestly, a lot of guys that make comics, it's hard for them to keep up with what's going on, which I can totally understand. So I work for a fitness company, and obviously I don't take my work home with me.
Obviously, if I wanted to have a discussion with you about fitness, you'd be ready and ready to go.
It's not a good thing. All right. Well, Tom, why don't you, as you traditionally do, start us off with what you have been reading here of late?
Well, I'm going to start with the other book, not the first one I told you I was going to start with.
I'm throwing me a
loop to keep the pressure on.
Tom's the wild card.
The wild card. I'm going to go with Kick-Ass number 6 that came out this past week, written by Mark Millar with art by John Romita Jr. J.R.J.
J.R.
J.R. Jr. J.R. 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 J.R.
J.R. J.R. Oh, no.
This was my favorite issue of this book so far. It dealt with the origin of Big Daddy and Hit Girl, and it was really awesome. It was really funny. Chris had mentioned that some people like to complain about.
I don't understand what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, it is the most that way a book can be. It's like a conversation.
People complain about.
They say there's no story. Like, I don't know where it's going. I mean, that's the appeal. Is this kid just goes out into the city in this ridiculous outfit and shit kind of happens to him, and
he doesn't know where he's going.
Totally dig it.
It's good. In this issue, he's a comic book fan, and he's become a superhero, and he's freaking out about all this horrible stuff that's happening to him. But that's the type of stuff that happens to superheroes. The story is supposed to be funny. You know,
yeah.
It's not supposed to be like a serious like coming of age story about this kid learning to fight bad guys. And it's supposed to be ridiculous. I mean, there's a part where him and this guy he's been teaming up with who likes to smoke pot while he's driving around his car, the Red Mist, are talking about how they want to recruit Big Daddy and Hit Girl into their group, and they can be the Wolverine of the group. And, and Kick-Ass is like, oh, I thought I was the Wolverine. He's like, no, you're the earnest one. And I'm the wisecracking, funny one. They can be the Wolverine. You know, he refers to Big Daddy's being, oh, he's Frank Castle.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be sort of this funny look at comic books, and it's also a vehicle for fantastic art, you know.
Oh, I love Romita.
I don't need a tight story to the fact that it's just an opportunity for Romita to draw like a 7-year-old girl jamming a broken pool cue through some guy's neck, which you don't think you want to see that until you do.
But man, you do.
And then you're like, yes, I definitely need to see it. It's such an unserious book that I find it hard to believe that people would take it so seriously as to complain about it. Because I just think it's such a funny send-up of comic book fans and what we look at in comic books and what we think is cool. Because, you know, not to say that it's super serious, but it's the stuff that we like, you know, like, oh, yeah, it's badass when someone cuts someone's head off. You know, it's kind of stupid to really, even though you do enjoy it, it's sort of poking fun at a lot of the comic book conventions within it. Of course, the art is. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. And I find the story in the, I don't know about the story, the plot, how about that, to be totally surprising. And I mean, hell of a cliffhanger at the end of this issue.
Exactly.
And I love it.
The relationship between Big Daddy and Hit Girl, where you open up the issue with him shooting her in the chest while she's wearing a bulletproof vest so she can get used to getting shot by junkies. And they're ultra right wing and they hate liberals and Democrats. I mean, it's just so funny and outrageous and just over the top. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the trade on Kick-Ass, and I read the first issue, liked it, and I said, you know what, this is gonna be something I'm probably gonna want in trade. So I have not kept up with it. But one of the things about the series is that the movie hype started very very early on this. Yeah. It was like the first issue came out, it's like, oh, movie deal. As you guys have gone through and read it, is this something that you think people will enjoy in trade, and B, can you see it adapted to the big screen fairly easily?
I would be very interested to see them actually film the shit that's in this comic.
I don't know if it'll work, because part of the funny factor of it is just how ridiculous some of the... It's all the conventions of your Wolverines and your Frank Castles and all of these you know, the bad dude characters who are cutting, you know, and part of the ridiculousness of it is watching, like, kids do it.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know if, like, a movie audience seeing, like, a real person do it will get that it's supposed to be sort of like a humorous send-up of that sort of stuff. I don't know how it'll work. It's like the difference between seeing live action and seeing an artist do it. Because Romita, you know, Romita's got a comic book style. I mean, he, that's about as, when I think of, like, traditionally comic booky, I mean, he's comic book art, you know, so it factors into it. I, you know, if Greg Land was doing this, it wouldn't work, because it would just be so over the top, and so, like, you'd be like, oh, that's real disturbing, instead of just like...
like the violence in this, it's so preposterous that it's hilarious, but if I actually saw a little girl crushing a guy's head in a, you know, car compactor, I might want to puke a little bit.
I'd be like, this is maybe a little too much.
Yeah, so they're gonna have to back off of it for any sort of movie.
Well, you'd think, but maybe the DVD will be hardcore.
Yeah, and that's what I'm interested to see, like, because it doesn't have, like, what I would say is, like, the tightest 2-hour movie story to it. Like, because there's a lot of times where it's just him, like, wandering around and then getting the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's not sort of, like, A to B to C to D. Like, it just kind of toss him in all
They'll just take the basic concept and
kind of like
what they do with Wanted.
The movie wasn't bad.
No, it was, but it was, you know, basic, take the basic core concept and
I think it'll be good in trade, because, I mean, the art is awesome.
Oh, Romita's great.
You can get, like, a hardcover of it. A nice, they blew up the art. And I love the, in the back, they have the uncolored finished page.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Awesome to look at. And yeah, I'm loving Kick-Ass. Cool. It takes forever for it to come out.
Yeah, whatever, I'm patient.
That's the best part about being a loose story is... It's not so complicated. I can't remember what's going on. It's like, it's pretty easy to get up to speed on what's going on.
Yeah, he's got a costume, and the mafia are bad guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that, in comics in general, that I've kind of gotten to a point that I don't mind. I mean, some people just lose their minds whenever there's a late issue. I'm thankful. It's like, oh God, okay, that's one thing I don't have to buy this month.
And,
you know,
well, thank God the colorist gets to take his time and actually, you know, do his job and make it look good.
Oh, instead of just making it look all muddy, like you're looking through a dirty pond.
Yeah. Oh man, speaking of, you had talked about your upcoming Marvel issue that you were really happy with coloring.
Oh man, I love it. Nathan Fairbairn, my dog, knocked the shit out on this one.
Nice.
Because I have some of the Marvel stuff recently, I haven't liked the coloring on some of it. It's just like
but it's kind of
his first Punisher issue. I thought the color, like,
very muddy, very muddy.
Like, yeah, this, what he's doing is, oh, excuse me. It's anti muddy kind of. It kind of reminds me of what his buddy Dave McKay, or is it Dan McKay? Whatever.
Dave McKay. McKay does great.
What he was doing on Action Comics during the Brainiac story, I guess, maybe?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was the Legion one, whatever. It's very super colorful, very easy to read, very, you know, comic booky. It's kind of, what if you're a process geek, he was using the 64 color palette, or Nathan was using the 64 color palette possible in the Golden Age, but doing so in a very
modern
way, and it's just awesome to look at.
To give credit to the colorist, Dean White, and inks by Tom Palmer. So
on Kick-Ass, yeah.
Yeah, so
those guys are rocking it.
Yeah, so it's a great little art book.
Well, I tell you, speaking of, and I've noticed that in Marvel. I think I first really noticed it on the Ultimates 3 that the Madara.
The issue for you, there is a panel, you couldn't tell what happened.
Yeah, it was so bad. But, I mean, Marvel does have some bad coloring going on, but there's also some pretty good coloring out there. The one that caught me is in a book that I'm quickly falling in love with is Jason Aaron and Tony Moore Ghost Rider, which
I guess
that
was awesome.
It was a great issue, and I'm trying to find out who the colorist is. It was Dave McKay.
Yeah,
Dave McKay, and McKay is, I mean, he's one of those colorist kind of guys.
I love that book because it's like
I think he runs Gutter Zombies, isn't that Dave McKay?
Yes,
yeah.
The best part about that Ghost Rider book, it's as soon as Tony Moore got there. they pretty much just said, oh, well, whatever, we're just
fuck it.
Yeah, you don't need to know anything about what happened previously. This is just going to be filled with weird demonic truckers.
And yeah, they have a demon over the road truck driver
who and in the letters pages appeared in a previous Marvel comic.
Really?
Like
U.S. Women? Yeah, U.S. One, right?
Yeah, U.S. One, which was a book about like a trucker, like a you know, probably during the, when America fell in love with CB radio in the late 70s, early 80s. When will America fall in love with
it? The very limited amount that we know Jason and Tony just from interviewing them and meeting them at conventions and whatnot, I just read this book and I'm like, this is these two guys on the phone just coming up with wild, off-the-wall shit that they love. And the one panel that kind of caught me in particular was whenever the highwayman is, as he's getting ready to battle the Ghost Rider in his semi, you know, this high-stakes chicken that they're playing, that he has to rustle through his set of 8-tracks and find the right battle music.
Yeah.
And it's the it's Dick Curlis, Tombstone Every Mile. And I'm like, okay, got to go to Amazon and get this. And I downloaded the MP3s right away, and it is something that I can totally see Jason and Tony listening to.
Yeah, it's
just honky tonk truck driving music. It's awesome.
They've just sort of. I mean, I read the first arc. I didn't like the art.
Is that awesome?
The art on the second one didn't quite grab me, so I dropped it.
Yeah,
and I picked it up with Tony Morgan. You don't need to know what's going on in the story. The last issue is pretty much just turning Ghost Rider into a legacy character.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so you can do anything with him now, basically. Yeah. It's almost kind of along the lines of Iron Fist, but so you can tell old Ghost Rider stories, future Ghost Rider stories.
Yeah.
But it's just the balls to the walls fun of it. Sometimes Ghost Rider can get too heavy with the
I'm doomed.
Tortured demon.
I made a deal with the devil.
Well, here you go. Oh, it's like, so sad. It's like, in a world where a tortured demon in it's like, no, it's a demon bike rider who is a spirit of vengeance, and just have fun with that. And Ghost Rider is a really fun
Ghost Rider kind of got caught up in the 90s when I mean, really, the origin is ridiculous. It's a fucking stunt writer who makes a deal with it. That's ridiculous.
Oh, almost it's awesome, though.
It is awesome.
Almost as ridiculous as an over-the-road truck driver who makes a deal with the devil so he can stay up and drive for long distances.
Holy shit.
I'm serious.
I kind of like what Jason Aaron's done with it, because I think he's taken it sort of back more towards, instead of like the... of course, there's going to be doom and gloom, because like the guy made a deal with Satan, but it's sort of supposed to be this ridiculous. It's a ridiculous 70s concept, you know, motorcycles and racing around the country. So I've really enjoyed what Jason has done with it, sort of bringing it, and the art has been extremely good on the series.
I wish that. Tony Moore was able to do a monthly book, and I think he's just one of those 9 issues a year kind of guy, and that's fine.
Then I won't buy any of his books. Well, Spider-Man 12 mediocre issues.
He draws a tremendous amount of detail in his work, and he's just one of those, I think, good 9 issue a year kind of guys. But I wish that he would do 9 issues of Ghost Rider a year with Jason. And
I'll accept no less than 10. It's bullshit.
No.
Yeah, lazy. It's just lazy. One of those lazy artists. Back in the day, he used to churn out books in a week, and the art was great.
Well, how many pages a day are you, Mr. Burnham?
Shut the fuck up. That's how many.
No, sir. Are you a 1 page a day or 3 pages a week or?
It takes me between a day and a half to 2 days to do a page of pencils and inks.
Okay, for pencils and inks. So you're a 9 issue year kind of guy.
Yeah, I can do a page a day. I've done it before, and it's,
you don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose I would probably get used to it after a while. But when you're used to taking your time, and then you have to, you know, bang out 8 pages in a week, it's kind of, you're I don't know, it was definitely a little bit of a kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
But I mean,
sometimes you gotta take it.
Sometimes you gotta take it, and that's
Well, I mean, you know, this page that I bought from you today. I mean, I can't imagine doing that in a day. I mean,
I certainly couldn't imagine doing that. I mean,
that's a couple. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of detail. You've got a lot of Darrow in you, good sir.
Oh, that guy is the worst influence in the whole world.
And I mean,
talk about someone who. It's not going to lend you towards taking shortcuts in detail.
Oh, man.
It's like, let's draw nuts and bolts in a car wreck.
Yeah, he and Seth Fisher have basically ruined my life.
Yeah. But I see a lot of Darrow influence in this stuff especially. But you're kind of all over the place. You have a couple different styles that, you know, the utility knife of comic book drawing that you do. You know, and that's a good thing.
Swiss Army knife.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing to have to say, hey, well, this is, you know, a project pops up and you're like, I got to knock out, you know, 22 pages in 25 days. You can do that if you absolutely have to, but you're like, you know, it's the stuff from Nixon's Pals was not that kind of art, and I love that book.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So anyway, enough kissing your ass.
Well, yes,
enough kissing your ass.
Good though, doesn't it?
Would you like to talk more about it?
I would love it. It's one of my favorite topics of conversation.
Why don't you talk about a comic book?
I stole Kick-Ass from him. So.
Yeah, you totally stole Kick-Ass.
You fucked him, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, that's what we do on the show, and we have guests as we try and put them in awkward situations. Yeah,
let's see. Have I talked about Tales of the Beanworld on this podcast?
Oh God, why don't you climb into bed with Vince and Vince I bought it because of Vince's recommendation. Uh-huh. And I went to Challengers and grabbed it off the shelf, and I asked Patrick down there. I was like, you heard good things about Beanworld? He's like, right now, Chris Burnham is in love with that book.
It's amazing.
You talked my ear off about it at the birthday party for Challengers, to the point where I was like,
shut up.
Stop.
Yeah, I picked up all the remaining issues that I didn't have at the New York show,
Larry Martyr.
Yeah, it's impossible to find those issues, so you are much better off buying the new spiffy hardcovers that Dark Horse is putting out.
$20?
I believe so.
It's a nice hardcover. It's 20 bucks.
For the first 9 issues, which are really good.
For a book about beans, that is a dense book, man.
It's so hard to describe because it's impossible to cover it, but it's kind of like a Native American creation myth as told through these goofy beans. It's just fucking.
I didn't know I wanted that until you just described it. Now
it's just fucking crazy, and it is the most like itself it could possibly be, if that makes any sense. No, like it is one.
You are a real philosopher.
It is 100% Tales of the Beanworld. It's fucking awesome.
Is there any Wolverine in it?
No, like there's no.
Are there beans with claws?
There's a bean with a pitchfork.
That's close enough.
Mr. Spook has a pitchfork.
Is he the best at what he does?
Yeah, he's the only one that can catch a sprout butt.
Ooh, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal in Beanworld.
Yeah, because
is he perhaps a Wolverine parody? No, I'm kidding.
No, he's not. He is the hero of the Beanworld. He's the only one that could catch a sprout butt and turn it into chow by delivering it to the hoi polloi ring herd. The shit is just crazy.
One pill makes you smaller.
Yeah. Either that or it is a Nintendo game.
Yes, it's kind of like Super Mario in a way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
He should look into getting that as a game, in some sort of online game where you can play it.
That would make a great Flash game.
Beanworld the game.
Larry Martyr, get on that.
Get on that now.
No, Chris Burnham, you get on that and pitch that to Larry
Martyr. I could see that because I was going to pick it up with my next paycheck, and I was going to pay my whole paycheck for it because I like to spend all of it. I was going to buy a lot of copies of it all at once.
Oh, we have a voicemail about that later.
About my paycheck?
No, about buying a bulk amount of comic books.
Ooh, bad idea. I've done it quite a few times. But yeah, the art in that, I can completely imagine that being like a Flash game on a computer.
Yeah.
You could go to a website and play that. Yeah, man, that's a great idea. Let's steal it.
Do it. Yeah, Tales of the Corn World.
Is this anything like Beam? No. Man,
no, it's Corn World. Like
Beam. Yeah, you're wrong. You're way wrong.
It's completely different.
Completely different concept. Whoa, not professional.
Oh, man. So
knocking the mic.
He spilled beer all over the place.
Well, now I'm going to get it because Vince is crazy, so I don't listen to him much. Chris has got his head on screwed on right.
So a little bit.
He's saying he likes it. I'll get it.
I tell you, not to keep you from buying it, but I have it. I'll let you borrow it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I should buy it.
Please buy it because I am anxiously awaiting Volume 3, which is when the new content starts. Mm-hmm. And if not enough people buy Volume 1, I might be screwed.
I'll buy it. If I want to read it.
So for my sake, if you guys could buy this book so I can keep reading it, that would be great.
Okay.
This show has slowly just become like the world revolves around Chris Burnham. I would really like to read more Beam World, so I'd really appreciate
it. I tried that with Exterminators. It didn't work.
If you guys could go back in time and buy shit tons of copies of Jack Staff, that would be great.
I would really like some new old issues of Jack Staff.
Is Jack Staff, is it done?
It seems to have hit.
It just disappeared. They had those specials, those two like specials and then one issue.
Yeah.
And then I loved Jack Staff.
Yeah, me too.
You know, you talked about it the last time you were here, Chris, and I still need to pick up that collection from Image. It really looks like fun stuff.
Black and white.
Yeah.
First volume.
It's really good.
Awesome.
Really?
I love the storytelling in that, because it's just...
Is it like book club?
It's a pretty big book. I don't know if we want to do another book. It's kind of weird to
another 600-page book
for the book. It's kind of weird to read all in one shot, too. But it's enjoyable because the way he tells the story is it's like every 12 pages you get like a weird recap page of what just happened. But like it's like an old comic book in that sense, in that there's these weird recaps just kind of fit in everywhere. Obviously, there was breaks in the story, but when you're reading it, it's kind of fun because you turn the page and be like, oh, here's the weird recap page about the vampire reporter.
Dun, dun, dun.
And one of my favorite things in that book, and I think I might have talked about this before. There's this one great panel where they're in a car, and all the panel is the two headlights, and it's all black except for two white squares. And I was like, that's pretty cool that, like, it's the simplest way of drawing a car at
night,
but I knew exactly what it was. And, you know, I just kept reading it. I loved it. I love his argument, too.
All right, well, we had a little technical difficulty there. I realized that Tom was on the wrong channel. That's why he sent it a little echoey. So, Tom. Tom's back now.
I want reverb. All the time.
I want a wah-wah pedal hooked up to my larynx.
Yeah, this will hopefully sound... But, you know, it does give me a chance because we had a little musical break there in between the technical difficulties. Music for this show, which I always forget to tell people at the top of the show. Music for this show featuring Wilco. Which is one of my favorite bands. It's
I like Wilco.
Yeah, it's Southern Illinois, St. Louis Ties. My favorite band is Uncle Tupelo, which Wilco has come out of.
Well, nice.
Jeff.
When are we gonna have an Uncle Tupelo episode?
It'll happen
next week.
No, I'm gonna give people a little bit of a break. See, now I can see you on the board. I was like,
I'm not echoing.
No. So that'll take a little while to edit, but that's okay.
I feel like I should have known. I should have known.
Oh well. But you know, I did have a question for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Superwoman?
It's the title of the last issue of Supergirl. We know now.
What do you think about that?
Is she Supergirl from the future?
No, but that'd be pretty cool.
Is she Superman in drag?
That would also be pretty cool. I think they probably did that story in the Silver Age where Superman just... They did.
All right, now we're set.
Are we sure? Did we actually talk about that on the air?
So, who is Superman?
The argument.
Spoilers ahead, what did you think of the reveal of who Superwoman was?
It was kind of who I thought it was going to be, but he did a good job of kind of tricking the reader the last couple issues by throwing out a few clues that it wasn't who you kind of thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people get hung up on like reveals or like, oh, it's the person that, you know, I thought it would be. Well, you know, sometimes for the story to make sense, you can't just be some random person. Like,
I mean, if there's what, five people it could have been, 20% of you are going to be right.
Yeah, and it's like, it was good. It was nice to get a full issue of Jamal Igel's art.
That guy's good.
Because last time, I was kind of taken aback by a couple pages by Talent Caldwell, who I don't dislike his art. It was just weird to see his art right
after.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that fit very well.
No, I was like, whoa, what is this right after? I'm like, whoa. But it has been a very good book, and Sterling Gates has done a very good job of making what had been a book that it felt like the character changed every three issues because there's a different writer three issues. He's done a very good job.
What do you do with Supergirl? It's a hard character to figure out.
You gotta get in the head of a teenage girl.
Yeah, who has the power?
You gotta think like a teenage girl.
And Sterling Gates obviously is.
It's got the mind of a teenage girl.
This could go in a bad direction.
Yeah.
I had to bite my tongue pretty seriously back there.
What I really like about Supergirl, and this is the first time I've ever read a Supergirl comic, is that it is tied into World of New Krypton, but it is not absolutely necessary to it. It's a very nice compliment. It rounds out the world in a very nice way, but it works on its own, and it's a completely enjoyable series. I actually look forward to reading Supergirl.
It's sort of like the way they're doing all the Superman books. I think it's sort of the weirdly most traditional way of like comic storytelling, where it's very serialized, where you like tune in next week for, you know, what happens next in this, you know, what happens next in the story. And it's very like, here's a cliffhanger at the end of this part, and it all sort of builds upon each other, and it all ties in. And it's nice. There hasn't been a time since, man, when I was an 8 or 9, when I've been reading like every Superman book.
Yeah, the whole family.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Do you think they're gonna collect all these together in the order that they're being put together on, you know, the covers of the books?
I don't think so.
Because it's action Superman.
That'd be an art mess. That would be so many different. It would just, and for most of them, there's no reason
to do that.
There's no reason to do that. I mean, yeah, they're all part of a bigger story, but you could read four issues of Supergirl and not.
And that's the thing. It's like they're keeping the timeline together, you know, with the numbering on the covers, but you didn't have to have read Action.
They're all very much their own story.
You didn't have to read the last issue of Action to understand what was going on in Supergirl.
No.
But it is kind of nice doing it in a timeline.
They've done that very well. Probably almost to their own detriment, not to actually force you have to read all of them to get the story. It's probably hurting them that they've actually managed to make all the stories self-contained. Because people would be,
you don't have to read
as much as people would bitch about having to read them all. People would actually buy all of them. So,
and Action was great last week.
Yeah, it was cool. Rucka's doing good. See, I mean, that story, I can't see why you would want that story. You would need that story collected with Supergirl. I mean, they're totally different stories.
And same thing with Superman.
Yeah, that's a completely different story. But all very enjoyable.
Very good stuff.
It's been fun to have like a cool, pretty much a weekly Superman story going on. Because there's always one, that, you know, because you got Superman, you got World of New Krypton. So there's always a new Superman book out, and they're all quite good. So it's
I look forward to my Superman
renaissance. Yeah. Yeah,
I look forward to my Superman.
So if I can ask a spoiler question, how did whoever became Superwoman, how does she have the powers of Superwoman? If you can,
it's from the suit.
The suit,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They're all it's all man made. Is it Cadmus?
I think it's the military that did it.
But is it all out of the Cadmus project? Probably.
Probably it's all out of that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean it's probably all from the suit.
Right.
Yep.
I love the Cadmus project.
You like all the crazy aliens? Like
Double X?
Double X, yeah.
I've read those Jimmy Olsen issues where he's introduced so many times.
Yeah. Yeah, I want him to get back into the whole espionage part of it, which, you know, it's.
Because you love spies.
You know, Rucka, again, it's the whole sleeper agent thing. Here we go. I love it. It's great. He's doing my fun. Oh my lord. It makes me happy.
Well, whatever gets you through.
Whatever tickles my fancy.
Since we talked about Superman, let's talk about Batman.
Batman.
I haven't read it yet, so be nice.
There's not much to spoil. There's not much to spoil.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ruin any.
This is not going to change the world of Batman.
No, or, right.
You're not going to find out who has won the battle for the
cat. Yeah, it's the Neil Gaiman, of novel fame. I guess he's written novels or something. I don't know.
He transcends.
They should get him to write more comic books. Is he one of those movie guys? Neil Gaiman.
I don't think so.
Well, okay. Well, hopefully, this new hot talent is.
This new guy, Neil Gaiman. This kid's got talent.
He does okay. Andy Kubert art with Scott Williams and colors by Alex Sinclair. It's the last issue of this Batman was the one where we had the big recap argument, the hotly contested discussion about whether things should have a recap. I did enjoy this. I think Neil Gaiman, it's very un-superhero-y in that there isn't anyone, I guess, fighting. I mean, there's like scenes of fights.
Yeah, but it's very like slow.
Yeah, a lot of flashbacks.
A panel of something.
It's sort of like, it's the sort of, Batman's dead. And it's like his life running before his eyes in a certain way, depending on how you want to interpret that within the bigger context of the Batman story. So it's just sort of an interesting rumination on the nature of what Batman is. And I thought it was pretty good. I wasn't overly impressed with the art.
This is the problem with having someone like Neil Gaiman drop into comics and write in a couple issues every couple of years or so, is that the expectations get a little high.
Yeah.
It was a good issue of a comic book, but my expectations were a little high. And
yeah, it was pretty good. I wouldn't say it was
earth-shattering. I've seen some people really slam it. I've seen some people say that this is an instant classic that will be talked about for years, and I don't think it's either one of those.
I think the storytelling isn't necessarily the strongest in it, because it is all very much like, here's a picture of this happening, here's a picture with words telling you what's happening. And yeah. I think that, to me, was maybe the most disappointing part as far as writing and art, was that it was...
Yeah. You put them together and it makes
clip show.
It makes an interesting short story that has a sweet ending. And it was a sweet story.
It was nice. It was like a nice Batman. I mean, there is a really good part where he talks about, you know, he gets what it is to, you know, to be Batman. You know, he's going to die. He's not going to retire. You know, that's not going to happen.
There is no
retirement.
Yeah,
yeah, he's going to go until he dies, and that's it. There is no going to be no nice ending. Yeah. To his story. It was nice. It was good.
It was a sweet story.
I mean, I kind of wish that they would have put more of a premium on telling sort of a sequential story.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I like Andy Kubert's art.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted it to be a little more,
And I like it, but, I don't know. At the end of the day, maybe I'm a little simple, but
I'm just a simple country boy.
I'm just a simple boy, but whenever I buy a Batman book, I want to
see some Batarang.
I want to see Batman punch Joker in the face. And
oh, it's just implied here, though.
Yeah, exactly. So
listen, you don't get Neil Gaiman to write Batman punching Joker in the face.
Hey, it's good enough for
you.
Alan
get Neil
Moore.
Gaiman.
It's good enough for Alan Moore.
It's true. He did write that.
Although he doesn't like that comic, though.
Yeah, he liked it. Whatever.
It was nice. It was nice.
It was a sweet story. I don't know if I buy Batman to read sweet stories. But,
Watch out, Neil Gaiman.
What about fresh stories or totally dope stories?
Yeah.
That's okay.
What about badass stories?
But no, I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's anything that, 10 years from now, remember when Neil Gaiman wrote Whatever Happened to the Cape Crusader?
Yeah, I don't think it's that.
I don't think that's going to happen. So it was a good story, but I think that's just what it was.
Yeah.
All right, well...
nice little pretty story about Batman.
Yeah.
I could have done without the tea party that when Batman was drinking tea.
Oh, but he wasn't doing a teabagging protest, though.
he was teabagging the Joker.
Teabagging the Hatter.
Neil Gaiman. I can't have him punch the Joker. He's gonna teabag the Joker. But with actual teabags, a protest.
Yes, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
not like tea, quote unquote. I'm not Uncle Sal here telling teabagging stories.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 a month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today. All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. You want to check in with one of our favorite past guests and
John Byrne.
Yes, John Byrne. Would you like to talk to John Byrne?
No. Nah. We should just randomly call him.
I want to ask him about Danger Unlimited this time.
Okay. Can't buy super boxers. Is there a sequel in your mind to?
Oh man, I loved me some Danger Unlimited.
Well, no, this is actually...
No, sorry, we're not calling John Byrne.
This is, someone that Mr. Burnham has actually worked with in the past. We're going to...
Is it my dealer?
It is your dealer, yes. We're going to call Paolo.
Your paper dealer, the guy who gets you your sweet paper that you use.
No, we're going to call Mr. Richard Starkings, the first tiger.
Have you burned bridges with him before we get going?
I'm looking forward to it.
I don't mean you've moved up.
Hello, is the first tiger there?
That would be me.
Well, hello, Mr. Starkings. It's Chris at Around Comics. How you doing?
Not too bad, yourself.
Ah, just doing fantastic. Hey, let me let you know who we have on the other end of the phone here. Tom Caters, of course, who you probably remember from last time.
Do you want me to call you Mr. Starkings?
Hi there.
Do you
guys are a bit quiet. Let's
move the microphone here.
We're going to scoot down.
All right.
There.
It's either that or scream.
Yeah, move close to the microphone. Huddle together.
Get close. Get as close as you can.
Very there. Cozy.
Is that any better for you there, good sir?
It's a little better, yeah.
All right. Well, we have Tom and another guy that you know, Mr. Chris Burnham.
What's up, Uncle Rich?
Chris?
Yeah.
Where's that money you owe me?
Where's the money I owe you?
that was not me saying that.
That's what you said?
No, I think we're all paid up. I think we have been for quite a while.
I think so.
That's not what he was saying before we called you.
Although I must,
I'm sure.
Although I must say, I never got my $10.99 from you there, buddy.
You should do.
it's all good.
Well, I'll tell you,
I think I remember what you're saying is that you didn't want me to send you one.
Oh, is that right?
The IRS is listening, everyone. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Starkings, we will stop holding your feet to the fire. We're just having fun with you. It is it's always a pleasure talking with you, and we obviously want to talk about what's going on with Elephant Man. You guys are still making one of the best comic books on the shelves. Can you let us know what is happening in the world of Hip and the other cast of characters at Elephant Man.
Well, obviously, after we hit our all-time low with issue 16, where I had to hire Chris Burnham, out of sheer desperation and the pleading tone in his voice, Moritat is going back.
Oh, wow.
With issue... he actually did a framing sequence in issue 17, and we're doing a War Toys one-shot, which comes between issue 20 and 21. But I think the most exciting thing just recently is Marion Churchland's.
That girl hurts my feelings. It's what does it say? She's like 12 years old or something. This, oh my god, this art makes me want to die.
In a good way.
Yes, it literally makes me want to quit and go into insurance or something. It's offensively good.
But she's actually finished all three issues, 18, 19, and 20. We just sent issue 19 to the printer. That's out mid-May. and a third issue. They center on the three female characters, Mickey, Sahara, and Vanity. Mm-hmm. And each one is progressively better than the previous one. And in fact, we're going to collect the three issues for San Diego Comic Con and trade paperback. And Marion is writing and drawing a little epilogue to her three issues. So all told, it'll be about 80 pages of Marion's material.
Whenever you said that they got progressively better, Burnham just threw his hands up in the air and walked out.
She's a natural. She's still young. I mean, she's 26. She's almost completed her graphic novel, Beast. And we featured some drawings from Beast in the back of each issue of Elephant Men. And I'm hoping that Image will actually publish Beast. I'm going to be lettering it. But it's 150 pages, and it's all gorgeous. She's been working on it for a couple of years, and Elephant Men is obviously her first monthly work. But she really is one of the most professional young artists I've worked with in a long time. She knows how long it takes her to do an issue. Her quality never goes up or down. It's very consistent. She does full color artwork in a style I've just not seen before. It's very strange because she has a very soft touch, but her artwork has a very hard edge to it.
Absolutely.
And each of the issues are tackling very hard topics for an artist to handle, especially the Sahara issue, which was hard for me to write, and I think it was even harder for Marion to draw, but it's absolutely gobsmackingly beautiful.
You know, that's one of the things about Elephant Men that I really appreciate, and it's one of the things that draws me to the book, is that it is unique to any other book that's on the shelves. You've brought and I think it's because of your experience, you know, obviously working in Europe and being dialed into that, but you've brought a very European feel to American comics, and Elephant Men...
Yeah, I think we spoke about this before, in that, you know, I've worked in American comics, but I grew up reading mostly British comics and British reprints of American comics. So I think it's all mixed up inside me. Nothing is conscious. I don't think, let me now do an American comic in a European style.
Mm-hmm.
it isn't that conscious at all. I do realize, and I've realized over time, that my approach is different to the approach of other American image creators. Eric Larson at one point felt that I should stick with one artist and, if needs be, do a series of miniseries with Moritat rather than have what he regards as fill-in artists. But I don't regard any artist other than Chris Burnham as a fill-in artist.
Jesus.
Because when I was reading 2008, one week we'd have Mick McMahon on Judge Dredd, and the next week we'd have Brian Bolland. Sometimes we'd have Dave Gibbons on Rogue Trooper, and then we'd have Colin Wilson. And really, with the stories and the characters that carried you through. But what I always admired about writers like John Wagner and Alan Grant is that they would adapt to the artist. And certainly that's what I tried to do, both with Chris, who did a sort of harder-hitting, more testosterone-filled issue of Elephant Men.
Man's
issue. Whereas Marion's work, which, you know, people have described it as pastel, but it's not really pastel. It's gentle. It's tender. Mm-hmm. And the three issues I wrote for her, I wouldn't have written for Chris, and I wouldn't have written for Moritat. So that was something that I enjoyed seeing in books like 2000 AD, and I think I have I'm very, very interested in working with different artists on the same title. I don't subscribe to the theory that every single issue has to be drawn by the same artist. Nor do I expect necessarily Morris Hat will be drawing the last issue in the same way that he drew the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The way he's drawing the War Toys one shot that's coming up, which features Yvette from the War Toys miniseries, looks like Barry Windsor Smith drew it.
Wow.
Ooh. And that's not the way he drew the War Toys miniseries, and it's really interesting and exciting to see him draw like that. We're actually now working with colorist Gregory Wright.
Oh, nice.
Who was an editor at Marvel Comics in the late 80s and early 90s, and also colored books like Batman, The Long Halloween, Batman, Dark Victory, and hundreds, literally hundreds of Marvel US books.
And, he also wrote Deathlock, one of my favorite books when I was 13.
Moritat to concentrate on the penciling and the inking, whereas previously he was thinking about the coloring when he was penciling, and it changed the way he worked. So you get a little taste of that in issue 17 when Greg colored the whole issue, but he also colored Moritat's, there's a graveyard sequence in that, and it has a different look to it. And I'm all for that. I'm all in favor of changing the look of the book from time to time, because I think it spices things up for everybody.
Absolutely.
Is it ever, when you say that you're writing the stories very specifically for the artists that are working on it, is it ever a challenge to the overall idea of how you want to do the book? Like, how far ahead do you have to start thinking about writing it for a specific artist? Does it ever throw you off to think, oh, now I have to write down to Chris Burnham to his level for this issue?
Yeah, because I have to use human characters because I know that Chris didn't want to draw the Elephant Man.
That's not true at all.
That's not true at all, but, you know, if I say so, it must be true. It is difficult. It's extremely difficult to keep changing the approach. I've got two young artists that I met at shows in the last year. I met them in Seattle last year. One is Gabriel Bautista, who had actually been doing some coloring for us on two or three issues of Alpha Men, and also an artist called Andre Dimanowitz, who...
How do you spell that, Rich?
He did a story in Pop Gun. They both had stories in Pop Gun. Gabe had a story in Pop Gun 2, and Andre has a story called Sushi Nachos in Pop Gun 3. And he's got a really great style. It is a slightly, you know, my tastes always lead me in this direction. It's a European style. But I'm writing single issues for them, but I'm also trying to keep a story that is moving forward through the Elephant Man, moving forward. So sometimes I'm writing stories out of sequence, and that is the hardest thing.
Sure.
Just to try and remember where stories fall in the sequence. Chris's issue was actually one of the first extremely standalone stories that we did, even though it referred to events in the Elephant Men continuity. One reviewer referred it to as a flashback within a flashback within a flashback, and it was that, but it also collected a lot of the information about the character, the Silencer, for the first time. You know, and hopefully one day, when he's sick of working for the majors, Chris will come back and do another installment in the Silencer story.
I am totally down for that, buddy.
Well, I do have to say that...
You heard it here. Didn't he say just now that he'd worked for half his previous rate?
No, he said free.
I thought I said double. I don't know.
One of the things I really do appreciate about Elephant Man, and I think it sort of has lended itself to working with all these different artists, is that it's sort of different from what a traditional, I guess, comic book that you would buy from Marvel or DC or even from Image, in that I don't think the story is necessarily the tightest, like, here's the cliffhanger at the end, here's what happens right after that cliffhanger story. And for me, reading it for a little while, it was a little challenging, because that was sort of the thing I was used to reading, was like, oh, here are the sequence of events, the next issue is going to be what happens next. But I've really come to enjoy about Elephant Man is that it's this sort of like amorphous, bigger story that it takes a little while to figure it out, but to get all the details filled in, maybe not in the same order that you would read other stories.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you know, I've read a lot of reviews that suggested that what I write are vignettes, or that the storytelling is choppy, or that it is surprising what happens next. And I'm never surprised what happens next, because I'm always interested in getting to other characters in the Elephant Man universe, and I'm interested in telling a little bit more of, you know, next issue Sahara's story. And there was so much, this is what, issue 19, there was so much in issue 19 that I had been looking for the opportunity to tell for 18 issues. That it might seem like a long time, but you know, when you're building a universe, it should take a long time. And you know, I do concentrate on a lot of the minutiae, whether that's, you know, hip going shopping or issue 20 is actually Vanity and Hip sitting. Hip sits in the diner booth for the entire issue. But that said, there is information in that issue that I've been trying to get to a long time, establishing his relationship with Vanity, who, of course, is a major character in the Hip Flask miniseries, but has only just been recently introduced in the Elephant Man continuity. So, I don't know how it is that I write. People have said that I eschew traditional storytelling, but I don't, you know, sit down in front of the keyboard and think, right, how can I eschew traditional storytelling this issue? I write the way it occurs to me to write, and I think that might seem different because writers for Marvel and DC follow a formula.
Sure.
You know, I mean, come on, how many Marvel team-ups have we seen? They meet, they fight, they team up against a common enemy.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Spoilers, Rich.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
You just ruined all my comics.
Sorry to spill the beans like that. But it is difficult to write Elephant Man in a way that continues to be intriguing. And towards the end of the World's Collide storyline, I really wanted to tease people by bringing Hip and Horn together for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it in a way I think that suits my European sensibilities. They were both completely naked, as was Ebony Hyde. They were getting out of vehicles. One group was arriving, the other were leaving, and that was it. Whereas in a Marvel comic, I'm sure they would have been like, at last, we meet.
And then they fight, and then they team up.
Each other around the hospital. Yeah. But I think that's just the easy way out. Well, I think it's much more interesting to build tension and ask the readers why it is that there is this tension between the characters. And of course there is a reason, but I don't think it should be instantly. And then I spend another 10 issues trying to think, well, now what reason can I give for them to be brought together and have a fight.
Sure. What I like about the book is, one of the things I like about the book is that you have this very dark dystopian world that you set up, but you're not afraid to have fun with it and have the characters crack jokes. And so it can be a heavy book, but it never gets to a point of being too dark or too pretentious. You know that it's still supposed to have an entertainment value that is fun and escapist, but you also have a lot of heavy-weighted messages in the book. So I think that you walk a very fine line and are able to accomplish having, you know, a dark story but still having enough fun to be able to say, I'm going to sit down and really enjoy this issue of Elephant Man.
Well, I think, you know, we are actually living in a dark dystopian future right now, so it comes very easily.
Sure.
And when people are in that kind of environment, I think it's essential for the characters to treat it lightly. I think, I've seen a lot of dark dystopian movies that are just too bleak, too soulless and dark. I think human beings continue to behave like human beings, whether, you know, we're in a heavenly utopian future or a dark dystopian one. So I think, I'm sure there were a lot of jokes made during the era of the communist regime in the Soviet Union. I'm sure people were cracking jokes all the time because, you know, when you're living in a bleak, oppressive dictatorship, you've got to have some kind of relief. But I think it's also my nature. I don't want to write anything humorless. And all the comments I've heard about how I'm sort of commenting on society, I think that just comes with the territory. I don't think I set out to make comments on society in Elephant Men. You know, in fact, Lester's issue is an example of, it's not really a comment on society, it's a comment on how human beings behave in certain situations, and the silencer is a killer, and he's sold us enough that he will kill his own girlfriend to ensure his own survival. And I don't think that's necessarily a comment on society, it's just human nature, I think.
Hey, you were mentioning dystopian films and other stories, so it's a nice way to bring up Blade Runner and Robot's Dream of Electric Sheep.
It's Robot's Dream of Electric Sheep.
Android.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Android.
Philip K. Dick 101.
Robots don't read. Robots don't dream at all, Chris.
Android's Dream of Electric Sheep.
Wow, 24 issues. 24 issue adaptation of a 250 page book, huh?
That's 24 issues.
That's
insane.
That's pretty. That's above and beyond. But that's a lot of lettering you got to do, huh?
That's a lot.
It was you were officially the first time I've ever seen a company send out a press release because of who is lettering a book. So I mean, you're big time now. This whole lettering thing must be working out for you.
You know, I'm thinking of abandoning writing, going back to lettering full time. How about that?
How is everything at Comicraft these days?
It's good. You know, I mean, we're always busy. We're doing the Hulk Red stuff with Jeff Lowe. Shortly, we'll be starting on the Captain America White miniseries with Tim Sale. We continue to do a lot of work for Dark Horse, Buffy. Conan and Cole and Solomon Kane. And Astro City is back to a monthly schedule this year.
Really? Oh, wow, yay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and believe it or not, I just got word that we're doing a preview of Planetary. What issue is it, 27?
27, oh, shit. I've been waiting for that for a long time.
I think that's the longest between issues.
I don't believe you. I
won't believe it until I put it in my long box.
Yeah.
I would be afraid Warren Ellis would come and take it from me.
So you guys,
but, but you know, the thing is, Elephant Men is monthly this year. We backed monthly. We were six issues last year. So in actual fact, Elephant Men's been taking an enormous amount of my time. Because not only do I write it, I letter it as well. And of course, JG does the design on it. And not only do we have the Marion Churchland trade paperback out for San Diego, but at the end of May, second hardcover comes out.
Absolutely.
Which collects issues 8 through 15. It's 312 pages.
Wow.
So it's actually a thicker hardcover than the first one, which was an inch thick, as it was.
That'll be the first hardcover that I've ever had art in. That's pretty neat.
Very cool. Again?
That'll be the first hardcover I've ever had artwork in, unless you cut my story out.
You know what? We just thought, well, why spoil a good thing? No, it does feature your story, your backup in issue.
Was it nine? Yeah.
And in fact, because we should be wrapping up the third hardcover, issue 23 will be the last issue of Elephant Men for the next hardcover. So, in actual fact, I think January or February next year we'll have the third hardcover out. And then next summer, the fourth hardcover will be the War Toys hardcover, which will collect War Toys Volume 1. And later this year, after issue 23, we're doing a three-issue War Toys sequel called Enemy Species. So we just got a lot of Elephant Men coming out this year. And because we held back, we did a trade paperback of War Toys 1. But a lot of people come up to me and say, why isn't there a hardcover of War Toys? So we're going to make up for that by putting Volume 2 in the hardcover, which would be Elephant Men Volume 0, of course, because why do anything chronologically?
Sure. Well, that's one of the things about both Hip Flask and Elephant Men is you guys put a lot of back matter into the regular issues that come out, and so I buy those, but then you get me on the hook the second time because the hardcovers that come out are absolutely gorgeous. You guys put out some of the nicest collections of any comics that are out there, and but you know, both the oversized Hip Flask hardcovers are beautiful, but then the first Elephant Men hardcover was beautiful, and I can't wait for the second one, which is called Fatal Diseases. Is that correct?
Fatal Diseases is volume 2, yeah.
Okay. And that will be out in...
I think May 25th is the date that I was given. I think that's a Wednesday, I'm not sure.
I believe it would be the 27th.
27th is the Wednesday?
Yeah, because my Marvel Mystery Comics number 1 comes out on the 20th.
Ding! Plug!
I don't know why you might be mentioning a Marvel book, but I'm sure there's a good reason for it. It must be something special, like a Barry Smith issue or something.
has LeDron made any progress on my next hip flask that
yes,
I want to buy?
Yes, he has. How about that?
Yeah.
He did. He's drawn up to page, I think, 14 of Hip Flask issue 4. And when last I communicated to him, he was building buildings and this massive spaceship in Lightwave in order to be able to model it properly in the issue. So, I know.
Fucking Europeans. Like,
That's nice, LeDron. Okay, keep going. So originally I thought that Hip Flask would end up being volume 6 of Elephant Men, but I think it'll probably be volume 8 or 9 at this rate. But that's okay, because I have plenty more stories that lead up to that story.
Are you worried that LeDron's going to actually make an Elephant Man? Like at the... I made one.
He would. He did actually model in a sort of wireframe program. He did a model of Hip Flask and Horn. He didn't do the whole figure, but he did the head and shoulders. So he was on his way to doing that. it's a special way of working all of his own. But when the pages come through, they look beautiful.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
And Boo Cookie is doing a whole issue. I have to mention that. Boo had inked and colored Ian Churchill on issue 15, and he basically did that for me as a favor. He also inked issue 14. So to reward him, I'm giving him an entire issue to himself, which is the work that I've seen so far is unbelievable. It's just gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. Because Boo is already a very talented artist on 2000 AD. He's doing Judge Anderson for the Judge Dredd magazine. But he's been begging me to do an issue of Elephant Men ever since he started doing covers on War Toys. And this is his chance, so... And it's all action, and it's all blood and samurai swords and fighting, so it's right up his alley.
Outstanding. Well, before we let you go, I know that you get out there on the convention tour. If people want to get out to a convention and meet Richard Starkings and buy some of those beautiful hardcovers and single issues, where are you gonna be seen this year?
Well, I doubt whether there's time for you to put this out for tomorrow, because I'm at the LA Book Festival at the weekend. But I will be at San Diego Comic-Con, of course. I will be at San Diego Comic-Con in July. I'm hoping to get out to Heroes of Charlotte, but I actually haven't put my mind to doing that, and that's coming up in June. And Baltimore in October and Ape in November.
Outstanding. That's great. Maybe
we should be doing a signing in San Francisco for the hardcover, but I have to confirm that when I know that the ship date is solid. So most likely we're doing a signing at Comic Relief in late May, early June.
Fantastic.
With Moritat.
Hopefully
Moritat will be there too.
Oh, good. Well, tell Justin I said howdy. It's always good to talk to Mr. Moritat. He is fantastic. Maybe one of these days we can get you out to the Windy City show here in Chicago.
Yeah, no, they invited me, but it's a one-day show, right?
Yeah, that's us, by the way, Richard. We we're the Windy City Show.
Oh, wait a minute! The Windy City Show is organized by you guys?
Yeah. There's no way you're coming now.
So when are you going to send me my airline tickets?
We'll talk. We can talk. we'll send you an email.
When is that?
It is September 19th. Saturday, September 19th. Yes.
Well, I'm not doing anything else in September, so, talk me up.
Well, I'll have Sal get in touch with you, and we'll see what we can do.
All right.
Get people on the phone and then harass them into coming. Yes, that's mostly how the way it works.
Well, that's what you're doing with everybody, is it?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, we're... We're going to call up Stan Lee next. Do you have his phone number?
Somewhere.
Oh, nice. Richard, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, and please keep up the amazing work with Elephant Man. I don't think that you're going to let the quality level dip. It's been fantastic from beginning to end, and we look forward to hitting that monthly schedule and those beautiful hardcovers as they come out.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be in touch soon, and maybe we'll get you on a plane out here in September.
All right, sounds good to me.
All right, you have a great night.
Bye.
Bye, Chris.
Bye, Uncle Rich.
Here's Tom.
Bye. Phone and trick him.
Yes. What are you doing in September?
That's us.
I don't think he knew.
No idea.
That is kind of funny.
That was awesome.
All right. Well, once again, thanks to Richard Starkings. That is, it's always a dicey proposition calling up Richard because.
Calling a European.
No, because.
They can't be trusted.
You want to talk to him until the battery on your phone runs out because he could start talking about basically the history of British comics, and we would be here for like 5 hours.
He was about to get there.
It would all be interesting. So it's hard to talk to Richard for a brief amount of time, but I love it every time we talk to him. He's a great guy. So what?
Well, if the pull quote of "it's hard to talk to Richard for a brief amount of time" is that's okay. If we could just put that on the cover of the Elephant Man, that would be great.
It's hard to talk to Richard for a little amount of time. Read Elephant Man.
Yes. And do read Elephant Man. It is a great comic. Well, I tell you, I had mentioned a voicemail a little bit earlier. We were running a little bit long.
Of course, we talked to
Richard, but we'll get to that next week, and we have a whole new round of guests that we're going to be talking with. But I do have an email, and this comes from Paul. And if you would like to email the show, you can certainly do so by contacting us at info@aroundcomics.com. Please put listener feedback in the subject line, just like Paul did. And he says, "Hey guys, want to talk about a couple things with you. First being Tom Cater's response to me challenging him to a pancake eating contest at Windy City Comic Con. Tom, you are one sick dude. The thought of you dipping your balls in pancake batter is forever.
Oh, okay, he misunderstood. In my mind. He misunderstood. That's
I think that's actually what you said.
Were you going to dip in the syrup, not the batter?
Whatever. Whatever it would be. I said I was going to climb completely into a trash can filled with pancake batter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that tomorrow. Usually I just throw the pancake batter away, though.
Yeah, normally that's just called Saturday.
That's just called Saturday. Saturday night. Warm up before I go out.
The second thing I want to talk about is Wildstorm World's End. Are any of you guys reading any of these titles?
If not,
I highly recommend checking them out. The trades for Wildcats and the Authority are both coming out this summer with Stormwatch and Gen 13 following up in later months. With all the constant bitching about the world of comics and their crappy events, this was an event done right. Christos Gage has been fantastic on Wildcats, and the Authority is as good as it's ever been. I also want to throw out there that Gail Simone is working on a new Tranquility series for Wildstorm that should show up later this year.
And, the reason I didn't read it is I felt kind of burned by Wildstorm in the last, like...
They got off to such a good start on the relaunch, and then
for 1 month? Yeah, and then Wildcats number 2 never came out.
Well, yeah, but, I mean...
And Authority number 3 never came out.
Yeah, it was like the ones I was really looking forward to really hit a snag, but then you had stuff like the PhD.
That series was awesome.
That was awesome.
Stormwatch PhD was really good, and...
Stormwatch PhD, or...
Yeah, Stormwatch PhD.
Yeah, post-human division or something.
Oh, okay, I was like,
I'm getting my PhD in Stormwatch.
Yeah, post-human division, right?
Yes, you're right. It just sounded weird when you said it.
It does, yeah.
But, I just kind of felt kind of burnt by some of that. And they had a bad thing where they kept relaunching, like no, this is not your dad's Authority. Yeah. And my dad's Authority was the Authority I read five years ago, you know. So
I
maybe I'll pick up the trades if I hear some good stuff about it. But I felt kind of burned. burned by it a little bit.
I was like, I kind of like Gail Simone's Gen 13, and then they put Simon Oliver on there, which I thought was a very odd choice. Yeah. And I really like Simon's work, but Gen 13 seemed to be a very odd pick.
I loved Welcome to Tranquility. I'm glad to hear there will be more of that. But that wasn't the same as that wasn't tied into everything. Like, I
that could have been an Image book. Very
I got burned.
Was that book set in the Wildstorm verse?
Kind of. Maybe. Yes.
Maybe. It had the vibe of that The Intimates. It kind of had a similar feel. Maybe just the art was similar to Giuseppe Camuncoli or whoever the Intimates guy was. It had a very similar vibe.
But maybe I'll pick it up.
So I have not read it, but I may on this recommendation pick up a trade. So see, there you are out there in podcast land. You too can suggest books.
You
to
can
us.
Tell me what to do.
Yes, you can tell us what to buy. All right, let's wrap this puppy up. Like I said, we have a voicemail. We're going to play that next week. And if you would like to call the show, you certainly can. We encourage it. You can call us at 1-888-997-5903. I'd like to thank everyone for leaving us iTunes music reviews. Had several in the last week. I forgot to add them to today's show notes, so I will catch up on those here in a couple weeks. And if you left us an iTunes music review and not iFanboy, I thank you double.
Thank you. Double the
thanks.
That's
not true.
Yeah, fuck you, Ron.
Yeah, Richards. No. Go and leave iFanboy a review, but make sure that you say that they, you know, maybe pale in comparison to Around Comics.
You know, I was thinking today about, I saw the name Reed Richards, you know, Mr. Fantastic right now. For a second, I thought it said Ron Richards, and I got thinking, like, imagine if there's like some version of the Marvel Universe where, like, you know, Ron was like Mr. Fantastic's son, but you can imagine, like, Reed getting mad because he keeps buying Morrissey tickets, and he's like, why are you spending all my money on Morrissey? Why can't you be more like Franklin, who's working on, you know, time travel machines? And he's like, I'm trying to watch the Mets game. Get off my back, Dad. Why are you on my back all the time?
What is this marketing stuff? You don't actually make anything.
Yeah, Ron. What? No one's going to watch TV on the web. You know, that'd be like, yeah, I can imagine a Reed and Ron argument.
Ron, Web 2.0? I did Web 8.0 two months ago.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Maybe that's just me.
So, go give the iFanboy guys some crap, because they're mean. They say nasty things.
Yeah, they do.
I'm sick of it. This aggression will not stand.
Yeah. But they have no respect for the flyover states.
None. No respect. No respect whatsoever.
It's not L.A. or New York.
Oh, by the way, Ron, my wife said that you can stay at her house for Windy City Con if you want. All right.
Ron, watch out. It's a fucking trick.
There was nothing inappropriate that happened.
Well, yeah, you got to set him up the first year.
Yeah.
Speaking of Windy City Con, we mentioned it several times, September 19th. For all the details, go to www.windycitycomiccon.com. Chris Burnham will be there.
Maybe.
You'll be there.
Maybe.
We just announced a whole new round.
I think we just guaranteed that Starking was going to be here, right?
We embarrassed him publicly.
That sounded like confirmation to me.
We embarrassed him publicly, but that's sort of the entire MO of the con, sort of public embarrassment.
That seemed like a solid handshake contract signing right there.
Comics it is, yeah. That's as good as a contract.
That is as good as it gets in comics. So, yeah, well, I'd love to have Richard come out. So we will definitely drop him a line and see what his schedule looks like. If you want to keep up with Tom and myself and the aforementioned Mr. Ron XO from iFanboy, you can certainly do so by going to Twitter. We're all on the Twitter these days. And that is a really good place to kind of stay up with little nuggets of information in the comics world. A lot of comic book creators out there, and you get their insight onto some stuff or what they're having for breakfast.
Or you can learn quickly to drop them because they are updating entirely too much.
Yeah.
And this is why your book is late.
This is why your book is late. Exactly.
Focus on what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't want to know what you're watching on TV. Write that book.
Right this second.
All right.
Let's finish this.
Check out Tom versus the Flash three times a week.
Yeah,
good stuff. 11 o'clock comics, about every Friday.
Skip.
Oh,
I agree.
I was angry last week. I'm going to go in happier this next week. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us.
Hey, hold on. I got a plug.
Sorry.
Hey, haven't we plugged your shit?
I got a separate plug.
I'll be right back. You go ahead.
He's pulling out his testicles right now.
No, he's pulling out the bell.
What the fuck is the
Chris Burnham bell.
If he can plug 11 o'clock comics, I can plug 10tonstudios.com.
Okay.
home of me and Coy Pham and Riley Brown and a bunch of other radical artists, including...
So, radical?
Yes.
Did you say radical?
I have.
Like politically or just yes, like tubular?
Many of our forum members have gone on to careers at Marvel that are quickly eclipsing my feelings.
Feel Chris Burnham's shame.
Yeah. It's a rough one. TentumStudios.com and ChrisBurnham.com.
Love right, it. And when does the comic go to the beautiful page that I saw?
Supposedly May 20th.
Okay.
All right, good.
Ding.
Fantastic.
Marvel Mystery Comics special 70th something or other.
All right. Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week.
Buy it to see the Human Torch's balls.
We'll be back again.
You got to hype it.
Next Monday.
I did hide those in one panel.
with another full-length episode. In the meantime.
And between time, we'll be everywhere.
In and around
comics. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Why not?
I was at the beginning.
That's so like the beginning.
Got a box of letters thinking might like to read. Some things that you might like to see, but they're all addressed to me. Wish I had a lot of answers.
I should call up more writers and pretend I'm Chris Burnham and ask for money.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.
And I'll still be your friend. Your records in a separate stack. Some things that I might like to hear, but I guess I'll give them back. I wish I had a lot of answers, 'cause that's the way it should be. For all these questions being directed at me, just can't find the time to write my mind the way I want it to read. You'll come back again.